contrary winds. Shall we read again, please, from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 14? Gospel of Matthew, chapter 14, beginning at verse 22. Straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went into a mountain apart to pray, and when the even was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, and this is our subject, the wind was contrary. And on the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. Straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand, caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? May the Lord bless to us the reading of his precious word for his name's sake. Contrary winds. And we must consider at least two individuals who were faced, as they thought, with contrary winds. Let us look, please, to the book of Genesis, chapter 42. Genesis, chapter 42. Verse 36. Genesis 42, verse 36. And Jacob their father said unto them, Me ye have bereaved of my children. Joseph is not, Simeon is not, and ye will take Benjamin away. All these things are against me. Doesn't that pull your heartstrings? All these things are against me. Elderly Jacob, all these things are against me. Don't you feel sorry for him? Don't you feel sad? Don't your heartstrings go out? All these things are against me. But you know what the truth of the matter is? None of the things that he mentioned were real. He was worried about things that did not exist. Joseph was alive. Simeon was alive. And he was not going to lose Benjamin. He worried unnecessarily. It never pays to worry. It gives you indigestion. Keeps you awake at night. Fills the day with gloom. And takes away the sunlight. It puts a frown on your face and sharpness in your tone. We are not fit to live with others and unfit to live alone. Worried about that which was not true. All these things, he said, are against me, and not one was true. First Daniel, please. Chapter 16. First Samuel, chapter 16. Verse verse 4. And Samuel did that which the Lord spake, and came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming and said, Comest thou peaceably? He said, Peaceably. I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and called them to the sacrifice. It came to pass when they were come that he looked upon Eliab and said, Surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said, Look not on his countenance or on his height of stature. I have refused him. The Lord sees not as a man sees. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. Then Jesse called Abinadab, and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, Neither hath the Lord chosen this. Then Jesse made Shammah to pass by, and he said, Neither hath the Lord chosen this. Again Jesse made seven his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, The Lord hath not chosen these. Samuel said unto Jesse, Are there here all thy children? And he said, There remaineth yet the youngest. Behold, he keepeth the sheep. Samuel said unto Jesse, Send and fetch him. We will not sit down till he come hither. And he sent and brought him in. He was ruddy, beautiful countenance, goodly to look at. The Lord said, Arise and anoint him. This is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel arose and went to Ramah. David chosen to be king. But along the way there were contrary winds. 1 Samuel chapter 18, please. First Samuel chapter 18, verse 9. And Saul eyed David from that day and forward. It came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied, or better, raved in the midst of the house. David played with his hand, as at other times, and there was a javelin in Saul's hand. Saul cast a javelin, for he said, I will smite David even to the wall with it. And David avoided out of his presence, and Saul was afraid of David. Chapter 19, please. Verses 9 and 10. And the evil spirit from the Lord was again upon Saul, as he sat in his house with his javelin in his hand. And David played with his hand. Saul sought to smite David even to the wall with the javelin, but he slipped away out of Saul's presence. Chapter 20. Verse 32. Jonathan answered Saul, his father, and said unto him, Wherefore shall he, that is David, be slain? What has he done? Saul cast a javelin at him to smite him, whereby Jonathan knew that it was determined of his father to slay David. Stormy weather, wasn't it? But now come with me to chapter 27. Saul's attempt to slay David. Chapter 27, please. verse 1. David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me that I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines. And Saul shall despair of me to seek me in any of the coasts of Israel, so shall I escape out of his hand. And David arose, and he passed over with the 600 men that were with him unto Achish, the son of Maon, king of Gath. And David dwelt with Achish at Gath, he and his men, every man with his household, even David with his two wives, and so forth. Here again, we find David worried and upset. Could Saul kill David? No. David was anointed to be king. Saul couldn't do a thing about that. David took his eyes off of the Lord and looked at Saul. Again, we find one surrounded by storm, and instead of looking at the Lord, he is now looking at the storm. Jacob worried about when he didn't have to worry. And here's Jacob worried when he didn't have to worry. It has been pointed out that 70% of the things that we worry about never happen. Did you notice that? It has also been pointed out that about 22% of the things that we worry about happen in a way that we don't worry about. And there are only about 5% of the things that we worry about that are really worth worrying about. Philippians 4 and verse 6, please. Worry. Why worry? It never keeps trouble from happening. Gives you indigestion. Keeps you awake at night. Fills the day with gloom. Puts a frown on your face. Worry doesn't help, and it doesn't change anything. Philippians chapter 4, did I say? Verse 6. Be careful for nothing. We don't speak this way today. What does be careful for nothing mean? In today's English, it means don't worry. In spite of the storm, in spite of the adversities that we see on every hand, we are not to worry. Cheer up, ye saints of God. There's nothing to worry about. Nothing to make you feel afraid. Nothing to make you doubt. Remember, Jesus never fails. So why not praise him and shout? You'll be sorry you worried at all tomorrow morning. Don't worry. But you know, it's very foolish to worry. Read with me in Matthew chapter 16. Pardon me, Matthew chapter 6. It is foolish to worry. Matthew chapter 6. Jacob worried. And what he worried about never happened. David worried. And what he worried about couldn't happen. Matthew chapter 6, please. Verse 27. The Lord asked this question. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? Cubit is about 18 inches long. Which of us, by thinking, can add a half inch to our stature? Anybody? Can you add a quarter of an inch to your stature by thinking? Therefore, to worry is not wise. Psalm 107. Psalm 107. Verse 27. They reel to and fro, stagger like a drunken man, and are at their wit's end. Have you ever been at your wit's end? You didn't know which way to go, which way to turn? We have some young students here. I have a nephew who was at his wit's end. He was a very quiet fellow, but a very good student. And when he was ready to graduate from high school, of all places, he was accepted in the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. That's class. But he had to worry. He was at wit's end corner. His parents couldn't afford the tuition. What should he do? Many of you, you have your future before you. What should I study? What course shall I follow? What subject shall I take? Who is going to pay the tuition? You're at wit's end corner. What's the answer to being at wit's end corner? Read verse 28. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. Matthew chapter 14 again. They cry to the Lord, and he brings them out of their distresses. Matthew chapter 14, verse 28. Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee in the water. And he said, come. When Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to the Lord. But, that's trouble. He took his eyes off the Lord. When he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. He was in trouble, wasn't he? And what did the Lord do? Immediately, Jesus stretched forth his hand. What is the answer to troubled seas, to difficult pathways? Not to worry. The answer is to look to the Lord. Those that were at wit's end corner, we just read, when they looked to the Lord, he delivered them. The power of prayer. Moses, the Lord was about to slay the children of Israel, and Moses prayed, and they were saved. That is what we are to do when we come upon these difficult situations. How about Joshua? Joshua prayed and the sun stood still. Now the scientists don't believe that, but I do. If it's in this book, I believe it. I can't explain it. But Joshua prayed and the sun stood still. Hannah prayed. And the Lord gave her a son who was used to lead Israel. How about Elijah? Elijah prayed, and fire came down from heaven, fire such as has never been seen. The fire licked the sacrifice, licked the wood, licked the stone, and licked the water. The power of prayer. Solomon prayed for wisdom, the wisest man of his day. How about Jonah in the belly of that animal? He prayed, and the Lord delivered him. How about the thief on the cross? This day shalt thou be with me in paradise. Peter was in jail, and the saints decided to have a prayer meeting. And while they were praying, Peter entered the prayer meeting. They were so surprised, they didn't expect him. They didn't believe it was he. And that is one of the troubles with us. When we pray, we must believe that God will answer prayer. The power of prayer. Many years ago, of course you know at my age, anything that happened, happened many years ago. Third year in school, had a roommate, and one Sunday, my roommate's uncle came to visit. And my roommate, his roommate, my roommate's uncle, let me get this straight, said, "Fellows, I want to tell you something. Lincoln was a great man. Lincoln did a great job, but it was prayer that freed the slaves. Stormy winds, winds going astray, things not going exactly in your life as you would like them, the power of prayer." I'm finished. That's the message. Hymn number 460. 460. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Don't look at the winds. Don't look at the waves. Look to Jesus. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden? Cumbered with a load of care? Precious Jesus, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. 460. Now you're saved. I am. The winds may be contrary. Don't look at the wind. The storms may rave. Don't look at the storm. But keep our eyes on Jesus and shine, shine, shine. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank thee for salvation. We thank thee for who thou art. Thou didst love us so that thou didst give thy only Son to bear our sins and to shed his blood. We thank thee for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou hast assured us that in the world we're going to have trials, testings, and tribulations. But our Lord told us that he overcame. May it be ours in the midst of the many cares and problems of life to keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ, to look to him for deliverance. Again, we think of those who would like to be with us. By reasons of circumstances, they cannot be with us. We ask thee to administer to them their portion. And now as we take leave of this place, take us to our several places of abode, we pray thee, in peace and safety, trusting the Lord, looking unto him until he shall come to receive us to himself. Amen.